Welcome to the Stats Modeling the World Instructors Podcasts. 10 points in under 10 minutes. We hope you find them helpful.
Hi, Dave Bach here to talk about Chapter 25. In Chapter 25, we look at paired T procedures for both hypothesis tests and confidence intervals. Here are 10 key points. 1. When you first present students with data in matched pairs, expect them to raise the red flag when they get to the assumption of independence. It should be clear that paired data are not independent, and therefore that the methods of Chapter 24 are not useful. Specifically, the lack of independence prevents us from adding variances to determine the standard error of the difference in means. Those formulas cannot be used here. We need something new. Ask students what they would look at instead. They're likely to suggest examining the actual differences in measurements for each pair, exactly what we need. 2. The mechanics of paired tree procedures are not new. They are mechanically identical to the one-sample T procedures we first saw in Chapter 23. We simply apply those methods to the differences observed between the two measurements for each pair. 3. The problem students face, then, is less in learning how to perform this type of inference than in deciding when these procedures are necessary. We hope that our decision to write a separate chapter helps send the message that we face two different situations, both involving two sets of data. In Chapter 24, the data came from two different and independent groups. Now the data are two different measurements for the same group, or measurements from two groups in which the individuals were paired. 4. Don't use the word choose in talking about whether to use two-sample or paired T procedures. Paired measurements are clearly not independent, so the two-sample procedures are not viable. There is no choice. We are compelled to use the method that is appropriate based on our knowledge of how the data were collected. There is an appropriate method and an inappropriate method, not an option. 5. As always, notation is critical. Proper notation enhances both understanding and communication. Here we are examining differences, D, not the actual measurements themselves. Our statistic is the mean of those differences, D bar, not the difference in means, Y bar 1 minus Y bar 2. Similarly, our parameter of interest is the mean of those differences, mu sub D, not the difference in the means, mu sub 1 minus mu sub 2. The mean of the differences and the difference of the means may be arithmetically the same, but conceptually these are very different, and that difference is important. 6. It's not just the notation and the formulas that must be different from the two-sample procedures. Each stage of our procedure reflects the fact that we are looking at paired differences rather than independent measurements. Start with the hypotheses. The null hypothesis is about the mean of the differences, mu sub d. 7. We think about assumptions and conditions by noting that the data are paired, and we check a histogram of the differences for plausible normality. One histogram, not two as we needed to do for two-sample T inference. 8. In writing our conclusions, we talk about what these data reveal about the mean difference. After rejecting a hypothesis, for example, we may say something like, there is strong evidence that the training results in an increased test score on average. 9. For a confidence interval, our interpretation also discusses the mean difference, as in, we are 95% confident that training increases an individual's test score by an average of between 8 and 11.5 points. 10. Many exercises require students to distinguish between groups of data that are matched and those that are independent. When pairing is a form of blocking in a designed experiment, there is usually not much question about it. But observational data may be matched for a variety of reasons, making the pairing less clear. We can't assume that samples of 50 men and 50 women are paired just because there are 50 of each. But we might learn subsequently that these are really 50 married couples and conclude that they should be paired. This potential ambiguity emphasizes the need to determine the details of the study design first and determine whether the data are paired at the think step before performing any analysis.
Thank you very much. This concludes our discussion. We hope you find it helpful.